This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 420. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Look out for Colonel Blimp. Superboy returns, Supergirl angst, Wolf, Connor Wolf. And the results are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 11th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Batman number 6 by King, Race, Prado, Albert, Hanna, and Maiolo. We were told this would be Gotham Girl Year One, so I thought we'd get some backstory. Instead, it's really just an epilogue to the I Am Gotham arc. Gotham Girl is still half mad from Psycho Pirate's attack, talking to herself slash Hank, our now dead brother, and she's still out fighting crime. We do get some cameos from really D-list bat villains. Colonel Blimp, whose first appearance was in Batman number 352 in 1982. I really suspected that was more of a 50s character. Captain Stingery, whose first appearance was in Detective number 460 in 1976. And Kite Man, Batman number 133, 1960.
Kite Man?
Kite Man.
That's so silly.
So her power allows her to stop them while still having a discussion with Hank, but it's also slowly killing her, as we learned last issue, because they bought these powers and it takes away from their life essence as they use them.
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd get the story of who they bought them from.
Exactly.
And how it worked.
Exactly. So Bruce confronts her, but she just goes all bat fan all over him for a moment and then leaves. Bruce asks Alfred what he did to help when Bruce's parents died. What did Alfred do to console him? Master Bruce, with all due respect, each night you leave this perfectly lovely house and go leaping out buildings dressed as a giant bat. Do you really think I helped you? King's dialogue really shines, especially for Alfred. Bruce finally reveals his secret identity to Gotham Girl just to get her attention and tells her that he talked to her mother, Martha, even after she was killed. Gotham Girl is truly broken and only Psycho Pirate can fix her, so Bruce asks Amanda Waller a favor. It turns out Bane was the mastermind behind all of this and has Psycho Pirate in Santa Prisa. Time for a road trip.
Yeah, eh.
Superman number 6 by Tomasi, Gleason, Gray, and Kaliz. Clark and the Eradicator duke it out. Krypto is physically ripped out of the Eradicator's body. Is it his soul? His life energy?
I don't know, but he seems to be a dog after that.
Me confused. Eradicator is blasted back into the moon and now has no life energy, so he's kind of just left there, it seems. Seems like a bad call to do that. The world watches the battle and cheers at Superman's return, and I guess they just accepted that he aged and looks very different.
Well, except that, theoretically, did anybody ever get a clear look at Superman? Doesn't he slightly blur his looks or something so they don't recognize him as Clark Kent?
But they really just kind of glossed over that and didn't even explain it. Back at the farm, Clark gives John a pair of glasses so he can avoid suspicion at school. Then takes him to the watchtower, partially to apologize to Bruce for taking out the moon bat cave, and also to formally introduce him as Superboy.
So I assume we're going to see the Superboy Robin title soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the New World's Finest title. Yes. Supergirl, number one by Orlando Ching and Atelier. Much of the issue is about Kara trying to fit in, learning to drive in National City, presenting in front of a class in school, trying Earth food. Because you got to remember, she lived on Krypton and Argo City for years, so she has a very futuristic point of view, and this is all prehistoric to her. She also takes out terrorists on a train, which gets her in hot water with the DEO, because she's supposed to get permission first. The train sequence also introduces Cat Grant as we move closer and closer to the TV continuity.
I thought they really grasped the Cat Grant TV character here.
Yeah, absolutely. Her adoptive parents try to help her feel at home, but fail because, frankly, she's a teenager and she's never going to feel at home, even if she's a regular teenager. Making her an alien on Earth makes it even worse. Finally, she drops in at the fortress and Clark gives her a key to the place. And maybe she should just live there. Enter the bad guy, her dad Zor-El, now the cyborg Superman. Can't say as I love this title. Would rather see more character-based stories than immediately moving to, here's the bad guy. And the artwork is a little uneven as well.
Yeah.
Ever After, from the pages of Fables, number one from Vertigo by Justice, Sturgis, Moore, and Wiggum. We thought Fables was in the rearview mirror when this title arrived. Vertigo certainly needs a hit. Maybe this could be the one. I'm not going to go into detail on the plot because I want you to go buy it. The basic concept, the Fables magic has gotten loose and the world is not better for it. We have a few high points here. Hansel, Gretel, and Peter, who are all zombie hunters.
I don't think that's Gretel. I think that's Bo Peep.
That's right. You're right. I wasn't sure on that. I was debating whether that was.
Because there is that novel about Peter and Bo Peep.
That's right. Flying monsters over this destroyed St. Louis. Bigby and Snow's cub becomes a secret agent for the Shadow Players. And a young witch girl turns Hansel into bloody goo. And that's just the first issue. Just highly recommend this title. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. It was a little confusing, but I think that'll resolve itself.
Well, the July numbers are in, and as always, thanks to Diamond and ComicsBeat.com. We're now in Rebirth Month 2, and Rebirth has been this huge event, as we talked about last week, for DC. Not just, hey, it's another event, but in terms of the actual sales, it's been enormous. And you'll tell that very quickly when you start to hear about these numbers. In positions 1 and 2... Justice League Rebirth and Justice League at 195K and 230K. And as a comparison, the New 52 number one of Justice League was 185K. Number three and four were Batman, remember, twice a month, at 194K and 185K. That's the I Am Gotham storyline we just talked about. Number six and nine, Nightwing Rebirth and Nightwing at 140K, 126K. The New 52 number one came at only 69K, so that's a huge jump. Number eight, New Superman, 129K. Expect this to drop quickly because it really didn't get a lot of buzz. And
it's really not about Superman.
Exactly.
A lot of people probably got it at first because it was about Superman.
Right. At number 10 and 11, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps Rebirth and Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps at 125K and 119K. The New 52 number one came in at 94K. Number 12 and 21, Wonder Woman at 114K and 103K. 13 and 19 was Flash at 113K and 107K. Titans at number 14 at 112K. Number 15 and 18, Superman at 112K and 107K. And again, these numbers, all these numbers are above 100,000 copies, and we're not done yet. Number 16 and 22, Detective at 110K and 101K. Number 17, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey Rebirth at 109K. The New 52 number one of that came in at 56K, so almost double. Number 20, Batgirl at 105K, and the New 52 number one came in at 90K. 18 of the top 20 comics sold in that month were DC.
Hmm.
Okay, now we've gone below 100,000. 27 and 33 were action at 91 and 83K. Number 31, Hellblazer Rebirth at 84K, a 437% jump from the last issue of Hellblazer. Number 34 and 35, Green Arrow at 80K and 80K, and basically leveled off by issue 3, which is almost unheard of because most comics tend to do very well at the beginning and then drop off lower and lower and lower. It's already leveled off by issue 3. Some of the other books we're getting, number 59, Harley Quinn at 45K. Maybe the Harley Quinn mania is starting to subside.
Yay.
Number 77 and 84, Future Quest at 30K and 27K. Number 126, Batman Beyond at 18K. That's going to be rebirthed in October. 128, DC Comics Bombshells at 17K. Remember, that's a digital first title. 135, Earth 2 Society at 16K. I'm really debating about dropping this.
I would.
Because I was kind of thinking I'm going to wait till it runs out, and it seems like DC is unwilling to just end it.
Mm-hmm.
192, Astro City at 9,900 copies. And then finally, number 253, Clean Room at 6,000 copies. It's really time to wrap this one up, Vertigo.
Yeah.
I also wanted to note that there are four Vertigo books that were out of the top 300. So they're listed, but they don't have a number by them. That means in terms of this list, they were less than 4,400 copies. Suicider, Kings of Hell-A, Unfollow, which gets a lot of buzz, at least a lot of advertising, The Dark and Bloody, and Red Thorn. So all of those titles, even if you're selling the trades, are losing money. There's no question. And so that means Ever After really needs to work.
Yeah.
For Vertigo to last much longer in its current state.
Well, and especially when you think now there's going to be another DC imprint.
Yeah.
That's taken a lot of maybe Vertigo's audience coming up with Young Animal.
Yeah, and that's starting next week.
So,
and absolutely, a lot of Young Animal stuff would have been Vertigo. Well, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pressing the button. Maybe. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to guess right up front it's the TV fall preview issue.
That's correct.
Because that's about the time it has to come out.
And we already said it was a double issue.
Right, so that means it had to be. So now it's a matter of actually who's on the cover.
Yes.
I assume it's multiple people on the cover.
Well,
is it multiple people on the cover?
There's two people on the
cover. Only two? Wow. So is it two people from the same show?
Yes.
And it's a new show?
No.
No, it's an existing show. Existing show on one of the broadcast networks?
Yes.
On NBC?
No.
CBS?
No.
ABC?
No.
Fox?
No.
CW?
Yes.
Is it superhero related? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
Not really.
Not in the conventional sense.
Not in the conventional sense. Is the guys from Supernatural?
It is.
Wow.
Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles.
How did they get? Were there multiple covers?
It was apparently they had online voting thing for your favorite show. I don't know exactly what it was, but yes, they were picked fan favorites.
It had to be some sort of online thing that got
rigged. Rigged.
Not that that isn't a, you know, there's people who watch that show.
It's a perfectly serviceable show, but that's about what you say about it, you know.
How in the world? Wow. I wouldn't. Well, I did guess it, but
yes.
I was like, well, what's left if it's not superhero on CW? All right. Well, I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. You can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.